Hello, everyone. It's Pastor Nathan. We have decided that through this COVID crisis, that since we're all at home a little bit more than we expected, to take advantage of that, to do some fun things. One of the things that we've been talking about as a pastoral team is how we can help our families to develop the regular habit of doing family devotions. And so we're going to be producing a series of videos to help give you some tools to begin to develop that as a habit. These Bible studies are going to be fun and interactive and really designed for all ages. If you're a couple or if you have teens or kids in your house, no matter what your house is made up of, these videos are going to be helpful to you. They're going to be interactive. And so we're going to want you to gather your Bible, and we're going to be gathering today a Bible, a piece of paper, and something to write with. And so here's what I want you to do right now. Have everyone in the family go and collect their Bible, get a piece of paper, something to write with, and open up to Psalm 90. And then choose someone in the family to read Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. We're going to be focusing on one of God's attributes that is talked about in those two verses. So go ahead, hit the pause button now, have someone read Psalm 90, verses 1 to 2, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk about this attribute of God. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Could you guess what attribute of God we're going to talk about? You're right. It's right there in verse 2, where the Bible says that even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Focusing right now on God's eternality, his infiniteness, the fact that he is everlasting, is an incredible source of comfort for us. So that's the attribute we're going to be talking about in this Bible study. Now, what does it mean for God to be everlasting or eternal? I want you to take some time to read the next set of verses. Right now, hit the pause button. Have someone in your family read through verses 3 through 6. And then after we come back, I'm going to have a helpful illustration so we can understand what it means for God to be eternal. Hey, welcome back. Verses 3 through 6 make it clear that God interacts with time a little bit differently than we do. It says there that 1,000 years, as far as God's concerned, is like a day. You know, right now, the days seem long, don't they? Our days feel like 1,000 years. But that's not how it is for God. And I want to use an illustration that might help us to understand how God and us are different when it comes to time. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that you're an author. You're writing an amazing story about a baseball team. Last season, they were the bottom. They were the cellar dwellers. But this year, they're having an incredible season. They've made it miraculously into the playoffs. They've made it through the playoffs to the World Series. No one thought it was possible. You're crafting an amazing story, dramatic tale of these comeback kings. Here they are in the World Series. It's game 7. It's the bottom of the ninth. 2 outs. Full count. Bases loaded. And this Cinderella team is down by 3 runs. They need a home run if they're going to win the game. The pitcher's on the mound. He winds up. He throws a perfect curveball. It breaks across the plate. The slugger keeps his eye on the ball. He takes aim. He swings. Crack! The ball flies through the air. As you're telling the story, the center fielder is moving back, looking for the ball. He's at the warning track. He leaps through the air towards the wall. The ball is about to sail over. And then you decide that this would be a good time for you to have some breakfast. You leave the center fielder flying through the air, the ball almost over the wall. You leave all the stands, all the fans in the stands waiting to know what's going to happen. In fact, your breakfast turns into lunch and dinner, and you don't come back to your story for 2 weeks. Think about all those poor baseball players and all those fans in the stands. They have no idea what's going to happen. Finally, after 2 weeks, you sit down and you finish your story. See, that's kind of what it is like for us when it comes to time. God is the author of time. To the author, he's in control of it. He knows what's going to happen. For us, we're living in the time. or like those players in that story that you're writing. We don't know what's going to happen. But we do know who knows what's going to happen. God is the author of everything. He was God, as it says in verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting. He was God eternally in the past before any of this happened, and he'll be God eternally in the future. Here's what I want you to do right now. I want you to hit the pause button and have a little discussion in your family about that illustration and how that illustration might help us to understand how God is different than us when it comes to time. Hey, welcome back. I hope you had a good time talking about that illustration. It's not a perfect illustration, but it helps us to begin to understand how God is different from us when it comes to time. So God has existed forever. So he's lived a lot longer than us. So God is different from us when it comes to the quantity of time. But God is also different from us when it comes to the quality of time. God's existence is better, simply put, than our existence. And this is something else that this psalm talks about. So I want you to pause right now and read verses 7 through 11. Pick someone in your family to read these verses, or split it up, and then we'll come back in just a moment to talk about how God's different than us when it comes to how we live out our time. Hey, welcome back. I hope you got some good insights out of those verses. If you take this psalm up to this point, here's what we've learned. God has lived a lot longer than us. He's lived more than we have. And God is also better in how he lives out time. You see, we're sinners. We live in a sinful world. And so even our short lives are kind of full of lots of trouble. We're seeing that right now with this COVID crisis, that, you know, even the richest nation in the history of the world is struggling to know how to handle this. Even the best medical teams that have ever existed in the history of the planet are being overwhelmed by this crisis. And so even at our best, we're still pretty weak and frail when compared to God. So at this point, let's be honest, this psalm hasn't offered a lot to encourage us. It's just reminded us that our life is pretty short, insignificant, and full of sorrow. So where does the encouragement come in Psalm 90, where we are almost there? Here's what I want you to do right now. Choose someone to read verse 12 of Psalm 90. This is a surprising verse that gives us some hope for how we use and spend our time. Isn't verse 12 amazing? I mean, up to this point in the psalm, here's what we've been told. Our lives are short, meaningless, and when we're living them, they're full of sorrow and misery. Not much encouragement at all. But verse 12 says this, surprisingly. It says, so teach us to number our days. The psalmist is saying, make every day count. But how can a single day matter? If your whole life is nothing, how can a single day matter? Well, it's what the rest of that verse says. By applying our hearts to wisdom. That means that if I live today God's way, this day matters. An entire life without God doesn't matter at all. But even a single day lived for God matters. And so Psalm 90 is really saying to us that time is a gift that God gives us. He creates time. He doesn't need time. He's not dependent on time. But he gives us time. And he gives us time as a way to invest our lives in a way that has eternal weight and significance. Now, earlier I asked you to gather a piece of paper and something to write with, because I've got one final illustration to help us understand God and time and how we relate to that. I've got my big, bright yellow pad here. I want you to take your piece of paper, just like I'm taking mine, and I've got my Sharpie here, and I want you to try and do something. On your piece of paper, I want you to make a dash. Maybe this would be a fun chore to give to one of the kids in the family, a fun job for them. I want you to write a dash, but I want you to make it as small as you think you can. I don't even know if you can see my dash right here, this small little speck in the middle of this piece of paper. It's almost hard to see, and that's kind of the point. You see that little dash in the middle of your paper? That's kind of all of human history compared to the rest of the piece of paper. Now, here's what I want you to do. Use your imagination. Imagine that this piece of paper extends in all directions, up, down, as far as you can see. You see, that's God. as it relates to time. And this little dash, that's us. That's our whole lives. In fact, that dash represents all of human history compared to God. God has never not existed. He will never not exist in the future. And so what is our life? Well, it's only meaningful if it's in God and it's used for God. And so today doesn't seem like that much. We could excuse ourselves and waste today, but we can't. We have to use today for God. And when we do, our little dash, the time that God gives us, has eternal significance. That's the end of this Bible study. But what I want you to do is just take some time together as a family and talk about the things that we've discussed. How can we make every day count, even through this quarantine? What are the practical things that we can do every day to make sure that our days are invested for eternity? So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. God bless everyone.